Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Amen. How many feeling a little more water on your seed recently? All right, we're gonna rejoice. We're not gonna cry in our temptations. Good word, Kay. And let me add my happy Mother's Day to all the moms here today. Love you, moms. The picture booth looks like a big hit. They're lining up and everybody's getting pictures, and wow, they look so good out there. It's amazing, so that'll be a lot of fun. Get some professional photos. And then Friday night, ladies, the fierce ladies, fierce and free on Friday and Saturday. So we're in the Gospel of Mark, and we're taking a different chapter each week. And of course, that means we can't cover everything in the chapter because there's so much. But Mark and his writing are awesome because he gets right to the point. One of his key words throughout this gospel is straightway in the Old King James or immediately in the New King James. I love that. Let's get to the point. Straightway and immediately. So consequently, Mark's gospel, his version of the life of Christ, is shorter than the others. You know, he has 16 chapters. Matthew had 28 chapters, right? That's what you get from a tax collector. A lot of talking. So it's fun, and there's a lot in the gospel of Mark to help us follow Christ. Right, as Christians, we are called to be like him. So we read his life story to learn how he talked, how he walked, how he did things, and then we try to be like him. Amen? Now, what's our key verse? Do you remember? Key verse for the whole book. Chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Here's the key phrase to help us understand what the Gospel of Mark is all about. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Notice, he's not preaching some new religion, a new denomination. He's not preaching about a Sunday activity. He's preaching a new kingdom with a new king. And that means everything changes. Everything. Some people think, well, if I'm a Christian, I have to go to church on Sunday. No. If you're a Christian, you live for Christ every day. If he is your king, you get in a new kingdom and everything changes, right? So many people don't have that mentality, but that's what Jesus taught. Verse 15, he said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand." In other words, it's here now. Repent and believe the gospel. So you and I are in that life of a new kingdom following a new king, and every day we repent and believe. Repent means to make a change, right? Repent is not an emotional term, right? Some people think, oh, I need to repent. No, you're probably not going to repent if you're emotional. Repent is when you are ready for change. I'm going to go a new way. I'm going to do things differently. I have a new course. In fact, when you repent, you get excited. You get energized. You get a new vision. You get a new purpose. You have decided, I'm not going to be where I used to be. I'm on my way to something new. Right? So if you're crying about your situation, you're probably going to stay there. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But it's true, isn't it? I feel so sad about what I've done. Okay, well, you're going to do it again. For sure. Wives, here's a clue. Here's a little hint. When your husband is crying about how he's treated you, just get ready. He's going to keep treating you that way. Mm-hmm. Happy Mother's Day. Because when you repent, there's a shift. You're like, I have a new course. I have a new direction. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. There's energy in repentance. There's purpose in repentance. When we're emotionally crying, feeling sad, I'm so stupid. How can I do? You're going to keep doing it. That's where you're living. That's where you're dwelling right there. But the gospel, the kingdom of God, is about repent and believe. So it's forward motion and it's change in our lives. Now, chapter 5, there's three main stories. And I want to make a comment about each one. I'm not going to read all of each story, but here in this first story, let me read a couple verses and point out a couple things, and then we'll get on through Mark chapter 5. You've noticed, if you're paying attention, Mark is continually reminding us that Jesus fought demons, satanic influence, everywhere he went. Now, I think we in our maybe modern Christianity, we kind of feel like, you know, it's not really a thing today, but actually it is. Satan has not gone away. As one author wrote years ago, Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. And as we look around, we need to realize, have the spiritual awareness of satanic influence. I don't mean we're trying to find a demon in every corner, but we are aware that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. Mark chapter 5 and verse 2. When he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then he asked him, he's asking the demon, "What is your name?" And the demon said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Verse 15, when they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Well, this is an amazing story. And I just want to point out a couple thoughts as we move in to the rest of the chapter. Notice when Jesus lands on the shore, this demon-possessed man runs to Jesus. It's an amazing thing how people that are demonically influenced want God and then hate God. Run to God and run away from God. Come to church and then blame the church. This is a dilemma. This is the struggle, the battle of spirituality in our world today. We want the church to bless our union. We hate the church because they've never accepted us. We want the church to acknowledge us. We hate the church because they don't believe in us. It's just this never-ending tension that the devil has with Jesus. Why would a demon-possessed man run to Jesus? And we've seen it several times now in the first chapters of the gospel. So recognize, just because someone's coming to church and fighting with this tension between them and God, doesn't mean that they've surrendered their life to God. It could mean they're struggling with a demonic presence. Now, the first evidence that Mark talks about in this demon-possessed man's life, the first evidence of the demon was self-destruction. The scripture says here he's cutting himself. He's hurting his body. He's trying to change the parts of his body. And destructive behavior and addiction. This is the sign of demonic influence. And we see this in our culture today. And we are told we should accept this. That we should recognize this is normal behavior. Cutting, trying to change your body, addictions, hurting yourself, destructive behaviors. The world tells us we are bad for judging people who might be in that condition. First of all, we're only following Jesus. And we're not judging the person. We're judging the behavior. We're judging the spirit that may be influencing that person. So we love all people. We don't love all behaviors, and we don't love all spirits. Come on, somebody. And I don't want you to think that I'm saying everybody with this behavior is demon-possessed. They may have learned it by following somebody else who's demon-possessed. They may have learned it from a teacher who is actually inspired by demonic presence. There's a lot of ways that people pick up bad behaviors, bad lifestyles, bad choices. However, if it's demonic, it's bad no matter how they got it. And not that they all are possessed, but it will be the same destruction at the end of the day. Remember, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. At the end of the day, your life is full of regret, sadness, emptiness, despair. There are no happy drug addicts. Joyce, my spiritual father, who I met in the drug rehab center, he said to me, Casey, when you're young and dealing with drugs, you're cool. When you're old and still dealing with drugs, you're not cool. You're just a crazy old guy. A sad old guy. And this behavior, this self-destructive, this hurting yourself behavior is simply a tool of the devil to kill, steal, and destroy. So we need to be aware, people. We need to recognize this whole thing of our world and the behaviors and the addictions and the things. This is demonic. This is not new. It's not like, oh, where'd this come from? It's always been here because the devil doesn't come up with any new sin. He can keep playing the same card and humanity keeps going for it. Now, second thing in this story, when Jesus recognized something was up with this guy, it wasn't just a demon presence. There was a lot going on with this guy. And Jesus says, well, what's your name, demon? And the demon said, Legion, for we are many. This is another sign of our culture today. Identity confusion. We are many. I don't even know what pronoun to call myself. I don't know what pronoun to call somebody. If I say sir or ma'am, I might get yelled at. Why? Because you are many. You have no clear, I'm talking about you in the world, no clear identity, no real understanding and self-awareness. So Legion is an identity crisis, a confusion of who I am. Non-binary, what is that? Pansexual, sex with pans? I don't get it. How do you have sex with a pan? I don't get that. I am whatever I feel I am. You can't put me under a name. You can't put me in a box. You are many, and you are being led by demon spirits. I don't mean demon, not every person in this identity crisis is demon possessed. However, that is part of a demonic process for destruction, for confusion, for anxiety, for sadness, for despair. Why would suicide rates be going up? Because Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Why would addiction rates be going up? Killing, stealing, destroy. Why are the homeless issues more and more prevalent in our culture today? Satanic influence, killing, stealing, destroying. Love the person, we don't love the behavior, we don't love the spirit that may be motivating that behavior. The last point I'll make in this guy's life was the mental anxiety, the torment, the depression. And without Jesus, we will never find peace and our right mind. This guy, no one could stop him. No one could bind him. No one could help him. Right? And we see that with many in our culture today. Just leave him alone. Just let him be on the streets. Just let him live on a sidewalk. We'll just keep feeding him drugs because we don't know what to do with him. This is what's happening in some of our cities today. And when this man was set free, he was sitting and he was in his right mind. He could relax. He had peace. He didn't need another hit. He didn't need another joint or another pill or another syringe. He was in his right mind. And you know what the funny thing was? This scared the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people who knew this guy more than anything. It's like, oh my gosh, Jesus really is the answer. You know, the world's afraid of the church because Wendy mentioned this morning, our children, our marriages, our families have more peace, have more joy, finding success, finding victory, living in the blessed. It scares them to death that it really works. Public schools don't know what to do with a Christian school because our kids aren't shooting the teachers. Our kids aren't spitting on each other and fighting and hating. It really works. So church, lean in to the kingdom of God. Lean in to what Jesus has for you. Find that peace and find that joy because the world can't give it. But that also means the world can't take it away. Well, let's go to this next story here in Mark chapter 5, verse 22. One of the rulers of the synagogue came. So he's a physician. Right? He has a title. He's being led by the Pharisees, and he's running a synagogue. He's like a local pastor. And his name was Jairus. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her, and she may be healed, and she will live." Verse 35. So now, an event happened in between these verses that took some time. But I'll get back to that event in a moment. Mark 5 and verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, only sleeping." And they ridiculed him. And when he had put them all outside, He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and he entered where the child was lying. He took the child by the hand and he said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately, the girl arose and walked. She was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Well, a few thoughts about this great story. First of all, Jairus was not afraid to get canceled. Not afraid to go to Jesus, even though he probably lost his church, his synagogue, probably lost his position because the Jewish leadership was afraid of Jesus, trying to stop Jesus, trying to cancel Jesus. And here's one of their own going to Jesus, bowing, worshiping, and his own family being healed by the Lord. It's sad to me how many who call themselves Christians are afraid to be known that they are Christians. Wouldn't ever want to say anything at work that I'm a believer. Wouldn't ever want to share with certain people that I go to church. I mean, I can't really talk about what I really believe on the job because I'd get canceled. I might get fired. Let me just ask you this. If you honor God, I don't mean being an arrogant, you know, loud mouth just for sake of being loud. But if you really honored the Lord, could he give you more than the world could take from you? So are you afraid of losing something from this world? At the same time, Jesus could give you so much more. I mean, who are you really following? Who do you really believe? Who do you really trust? I've had people through the years, right? We've been at church for 43 years now. So, you know, you hear things through the years. I've had people say, if you would stop teaching that part of the Bible, more people would come to Christian faith. And I always say this, yeah, but the problem is the Holy Spirit wouldn't. So I'm going to keep the Holy Spirit and those who want him and live with the results. Who do you honor? Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Wendy was 17 years old. Her mom and dad got filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in new tongues. They were Methodist pastors. That was not taught in the Methodist church. Funny thing, John Wesley believed in it, the founder of the church. But most denominations, as years go by, they become more and more liberal, less and less scriptural. So they were filled with the Spirit. Well, Wendy's father became friends with a local pastor in their town. I don't want to tell you where it is, but it was in Wenatchee. And one Sunday night, they actually hosted a charismatic service, and they had worship, and the people were lifting hands and singing, and the whole thing. Well, the Methodist church heard about it and kicked Wendy's father out of the church. The miracle was Wendy and all of her family stayed faithful to church and faithful to God. But the church kicked them out because they were filled with the Spirit, praying with the Spirit, and friends with other churches who were Spirit-filled. You know, it put the family through a lot. It was hard. It was big change. It was discouraging in many ways. But I never heard Wendy's dad say, I wish I would have submitted to the church and not to the Holy Spirit. I wish I would have stayed in the Methodist church even though I couldn't be filled with the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is, if you're afraid of losing something from this world, be more afraid of losing something from the Lord. You will never go down by trusting God. And Jairus was not afraid. He said, I'm going to Jesus. These guys aren't helping me anyway. My little girl's dying. I'm going to Jesus, and I'm going to believe. Well, when he got to Jesus, Jesus says, all right, let's go. He's on his way. I'm going to your house. Your little girl's going to get healed. But while they're going, this other event started. This other lady got healed, and she shared her story. I don't know how long that took. And bad news comes. You may be on your way to a miracle, and bad news comes. While they're on the way to Jairus' house, somebody comes and says, your little girl died. Don't bother Jesus anymore. I wonder if they were bothered by Jesus more than anything else. But Jesus responded quickly. He said to Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. And what did Jairus say after Jesus told him that? That's what he said. Nothing. Many of us hear bad news, hear the diagnosis, hear the problem, hear the circumstance, and we just start talking. Oh my God, what's gonna happen? I knew this was gonna happen. Oh, she's dead, my little girl is dead. Well, if she wasn't, she is now. We're never going to get that house loan. I knew it wouldn't come through. I knew it was too good to be true. I'm never going to have the house that I really want. Really? Go buy a tent. We curse ourselves. We condemn ourselves. We speak such negative, and we know the Bible said death and life is in the power of the tongue, and yet we keep doing it. Learn from Jairus. When there's bad news, when there's negative going on, the slip of a lip will sink the ship. Stop saying it. Just say, Lord, I believe. Trusting you, Jesus. Lord, I believe. Sometimes we're just not able to talk about it. There will be a time in the future, but right now, I'm not going to say anything. I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. I'm going to stay quiet. And that's what Jairus did. And Jesus got to his house. And Jesus took Peter, James. He didn't even take all 12 disciples, Peter, James, and John. He didn't have enough confidence in Matthew, Bartholomew, the other James. Now, y'all stay outside. I need you. If you can get three people to believe with you, do you have three that'll pray? Do you have three in your life group? Do you have three that you trust? Find three people. Get your Peter, James, and John. Don't call Aunt Betsy. Don't call Cousin Bob. They're going to call the whole family. Did you hear? They're going bankrupt. You don't need that. They're not helping you. But Pastor, everybody in my family loves to talk. Yeah, stop. You need to stop. Is this okay for Mother's Day? I mean, really. It's in Mark 5. That's where we were today, Mark 5. There's no mom stories in Mark 5. So Jairus said nothing, and they got to the house. Now, amazing thing, mourners quickly become scorners. They were crying. They were all gasping. Woo! She's dead. But quickly, they started ridiculing Jesus. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Oh, you're going to come in here, tell us what to do? Jesus said, out. Mourners are scorners. Bye-bye. In the words of the great Mahal, who's a year and a half old, bye-bye. So they left the room, and only Peter, James, and John, mom and dad. Jesus took the little girl, and she was healed. We can get miracles. We can have healings. We can see financial turnarounds if we'll get the negatives out of our life, not be afraid to be canceled for trusting God. Don't try to please everybody. Please those who believe. Get three who will stand with you, and God can do miracles in your life. Last story, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body she was healed of that affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? The disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So this happened while they were on their way to Jairus' house. I'm not sure how long it took, but what a great story in the midst of a great story. The first thing I want you to notice about this girl, she was going to get healed one way or another. She never surrendered or normalized her sickness. Before she knew Jesus, for 12 years, she was going to doctors, physicians, spent all she had trying to get healed, not giving up, not surrendering, not giving in. In our culture today, even though our doctors know so much more and can do so many amazing things, there is still so much they don't know. Yeah. Wendy went to a doctor one time who said to Wendy, if you figure it out, let me know. Wendy came home, she said, you know, it's not really encouraging when the doctor says to you, if you find out what's going on, let me know. So they do their best, but there are so many things they don't know. But this lady still would not give up. And when you normalize your pain and you excuse your pain and you make your sickness or whatever it is normal, now you've embraced it. Now it's my headache, my back pain, my diabetes, my cancer. Really? Is it really yours? You've owned it. You claimed it. Now you possess it. That's a troubling thing. That's a problem. This woman never gave up. 12 years. I'm going to get healed. Then one day she heard about Jesus. She said, that's it. I'm going to get healed. And even if he won't pray for me, even if I can't talk to him, I'm just going to touch his garment. I'm going to touch his Versace coat. I'm going to touch his Louis Vuitton and get my healing. So I love that about her. She never gave up. Also, she risked the shame of being in public. In their culture, she was not allowed to be out in public with her condition. She said, I don't care what they do to me, and I don't care what they say about me. I'm going to go find Jesus, and I'm going to get healed. You know how many people have said to Wendy and I through the years, I couldn't come to the healing service because I didn't feel good. Are you listening to yourself? You have so normalized feeling bad that you can't get to the healing service. This is a culture of sickness, a culture of disease, a culture of pain, a culture of feeling bad. This woman was going to get healed no matter what. And we want to follow that example. We want to have that kind of faith. Friday night, fierce night. Saturday, fierce day for the ladies. I'd be saying, when I'm there in that fierce and free conference, Wendy's praying, praise team is worshiping, ladies are all in agreement, I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get a miracle. I'm not going to live with this problem. I'm not going to live with this pain. I'm not going to live with this disease. I just be all about it, because you'll come in with your faith up, your expectation. You always get what you expect. What did you expect at church today? Well, you know, I thought it'd be nice. Okay, you'll get that. It's nice. I hope. Interesting thing about the lady, Amplified Bible, she kept saying, I touch his God. She kept saying, I wonder how many times she said it, right? Maybe she was sitting, I don't know, at home with some friends. They say, have you heard about this Jesus? He's healing people. He's setting people free. Demons coming out of people. People getting free. People getting happy. I get happy when I think about. And she said, that's it, that's it, that's it. I'm going to touch his garment and get healed. How many times did she say it? Probably went to bed that night, dream, I'm going to touch his garment. I'm going to get healed. Woke up in the morning, I'm going to touch his garment. I'm going to get healed. That afternoon, met a friend. You heard about Jesus? Oh, yeah, I'm going to touch his garment. I'm going to get healed. She kept saying it. What are you saying? My diabetes, worse. What are you saying? You have to fight for healing, church. Like this woman, for 12 years, she's fighting for healing. Recently, I went through a little battle. Back pain, sciatic pain. You know, hard time, constantly trying to shake it out, right? Trying to stretch it out. I mean, months, and I guess it had gone on for a couple of years. And I went to several doctors, several different chiropractors, trying all the things. Somebody said, you should try acupuncture. That's a little weird to me, but okay. Poke me with a needle. I've tried all kinds of needles. Might as well try that needle. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm not scared. I want to get healed. I just kept seeking. Finally, I talked to a pastor friend. His son is an orthopedic surgeon. I was like, what? He said, come on down here. Let him check you out. I went down in another state. He did a little thing, looked at the scan, the x-ray, the whatever it was. He said, oh, yeah, I got you. Come back. 1 hour. I'm walking around, no pain. You notice, if you watch me, months ago I was, you know, going up. I take every step slowly. Now I'm taking 2 steps. And I'm like, what if I'd have given up after the first, you know, nothing worked? What if I'd have just said, well, my back pain, well, you know, I'm 68 now. You know what I'm saying? Where's my walker? Now, thank God anybody who needs it can get one. But are you fighting for your healing? Are you believing God has an answer for you? Or have you embraced your pain and made it yours? Proverbs 18, verse 9, Amplified Bible. Use every endeavor to heal yourself, lest you are brother to those who commit suicide. Now, I'm going to pray for a miracle, but if I can get some other method, I'm going to use that too. Because I'm going to use every endeavor. Caleb's trying to tell me, he's been telling me, I need an ice plunge. 5 minutes every day. Icy water. First thing I said to him was, get behind me, Satan. But he's not giving up. Inflammation. And now he's telling me all the better. I'm probably going to be in the plunge. Use every endeavor, right? Don't hang on to your sickness stronger than you reach out for healing. So this woman got her miracle. And Jesus didn't even know she was there. Jesus knew something happened. He didn't know who she was. Who got healed? And the disciples were like, well, look at all these people. And she finally said, it was me, Lord. He said, good girl. Your faith, you keep worrying about God's sovereignty. It's not about God's sovereignty. It's about your will to be healed. God's will is that you be healed. You will, and you'll get it. You fight the fight of faith, and you'll find it, and God will heal and deliver. Okay, I'm out of time. Close your eyes. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.